This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and with me is eminent physician and poet Yung Suk So. And he's going to read us his poetry, and I want to say welcome with all my heart. Were your poems written in English and then translated, or have you do you start in Korean and translate to English?
I start with Korean and transfer to English.
Well, please, let us begin by hearing an opening poem, Yung Suk So.
Thanks for inviting me to this meetings, and I appreciate the grace. My first poem is Gracious Maria. This Gracious Maria is poem about the human skull. There is a head of girl on the bookshelf in the clinic. I see Maria Gonzalez, a girl who resided in the remote mountain village of Mexico. When we touch her imaginary soft face, we feel the holes where 12 nerve fibers went through, where the red pulsating arteries and blue veins passing through. When we draw the line on the temple with a black ball pen, we are staring at the stern eyes of the jurors as they were making the verdict of their bone fracture. When we see Maria, we feel the myriad pain of the patient. Whoever has questioned, whoever has studied medicine, all come to see Maria. Through the absolute silence of her head, we hear the murmuring of the clear water. We see colorful rainbows. We taste and smell delicious food. Homo sapiens, who can imagine, think, write, use the hand, create, and teach others. We see ourselves through her head. In her, we see a cadaver in the anatomy lab with its piercing odor of the formalin tearing our eyes. Here is the vestige of soul, the dead bodies whose skin has been torn, dissected, revealing reddish muscle, white-yellow nerve fibers, whose bone cut into pieces and internal organ exposed. 16-year-old virgin girl Maria, you will always preside over us from the top of bookshelf in the clinic, shrouded in your perpetual youth. Whenever we call, you would descend to us to be the light and candle. Oh, lovely Maria, you will live for 1,000 years in your exalted place. Mm. I like to read the Korean original version. 고마운 마리아, 진료실 책상 위에 놓인 소녀의 머리를 본다. 멕시코 산골에 살던 마리아 곤잘레스를 본다. 그녀의 부드럽던 고운 얼굴을 만지면 12개의 신경줄이 나오고 붉은 동맥이 박동하던 푸른 정백이 달리던 구멍을 본다. 검정 볼펜으로 특주의 손을 그으면 관절을 수긍하던 백심원의 눈빛도 보이고 환자의 고통도 보인다. 의학을 배우는 자나 의문이 있는 모든 사람들 다 같이 마리아를 본다. 우리 그녀를 볼 때면 맑은 시냇물 흐르는 소리 들리고 오색 찬란한 무지개가 뜬다. 맛있는 음식도 먹는다. 손을 움직이며 생각하고 생각하는 호모 사피엔스, 글을 쓰고 남을 가르치고 창조도 하는 하하 웃음도 짓는 우리의 머리를 본다. 마리아를 볼 때면 독한 폴마린 냄새가 눈물을 흘리게 한다. 연구실에 카데바가 누워있다. 피부가 해배되어 장색 끊이기 하얀 신경줄이 노출되던 시신을 본다. 뼈가 톱에 잘리고 장기가 드러난 영혼들의 시신을 본다. 16처녀 마리아, 너는 늘 어린 나이에 책장 위에서 조용히 살다가 우리가 부르면 손뜻 내려와 모두에게 등불이 된다. 고마운 마리아, 너는 이 땅에서 천년을 산다.
Oh, I love to hear that. I know one word is the same in Korean and English, Homo sapiens. You know why I'm glad you introduced yourself with that poem? Because here you are a scientist, but there you are a poet. And I'm wondering if your culture is not like ours, Americans seem to compartmentalize their lives. You're a mathematician or you're a novelist. But in your culture, I believe you blend sensibilities so that often one is an artist as well as a scientist. Am I right about that?
Yes, I feel personally, I used to be one of the poet when I young, but I end up live my life for about 40 years as a physician. I went back to original my dream to be a poet, because the same mind in my heart, I have the same flow of thought and the feeling, and those impulse create the end up for me to be a poet. That's what I wrote this poem year 2009 when I was 62, when I retired from medicine.
Jung Suk So, he is a retired ear, nose, and throat surgeon, born in Korea in 1942, has been in the United States for more than 30 years, and has retired. How many years? You came here in 72, right?
Yeah, so 53 years today.
53 years today. We are, and spent most of that in Ohio practicing, and has made his literary debut during the 20s. And we're going to hear all about him, but we really want another poem so much.
My next poem is, this is about the child who in the train during refugee camp from Ukraine war. So I wrote that poem because I had experience of exposure to Korean War when I was 8 years old, 1950. So I feel same kind of feeling when I saw her in the TV, CNN news. So I wrote this poem. A letter to child in Ukraine. How scared are you, dear little child? You are on the icy road to seek refugee. Your village is in ashes. You drip tears on the road all alone, the same tears that we dripped in crying. You face bitterly cold weather and hunger. But stay strong and brave until a new spring comes to you. Then a powerful Ukraine children's fleet will spread out from the Crimean Peninsula to the Black Sea and will pass the wave of Mediterranean Sea toward the Atlantic Ocean all the way. May God bless the children in Ukraine.
That's really heartfelt. You said you were 8 years old when the Korean War broke out. And tell us more about that. You said
Korean War was 1950. So it's almost 72 years ago, 74 years ago. And that time, 30 million population, 10% of the people died during the 3 year period of the Korean War. And that among them, so 3 million people died, and 1 million is soldiers, like mainly Red China soldiers. And 36 American soldiers died that time. And 2 million civilians died because of hunger and starvation and also disease during Korean War. So that was very...
And you were one of the children who survived.
I was 8 years old at the time. I was on the refugee. I rode train without cargo train, without roof. And I was... in the middle of cold winter, I was in that train to carry me, my family, to South, okay, away from the communist territories.
And you said that you went to school without shoes.
Yes. Yeah. In most of Korean has very eager to children has to be educated. And my parents asked me, go to school, although I don't have any shoes. My shoes wear out because... 2 months after my original shoes was wear off, the bottom part of the shoes, particularly toe area, big toe area was opened up to the ground. So I walk, it's only the bottom part is all gone. So I wear the shoes, but I went to school to study.
You know, it is amazing that you could have gone either direction. You could have been a bitter person, or you could have been burned clean and become someone who is compassionate and spends his life healing others. I think that is so interesting that the spirit survived that. And your spirit is also behind your poetry. So do read us another.
Yes. My next poem is Oyster. You look like a stone. You are a genuine stone. You endured all those heavy stones with your strong heart that pumps pure blood. You embrace a piece of sand and washed away its salt, create a shiny pool. Your muscle smells the ocean where seagulls dance. Without any eye or ears, you have survived 100,000 years to transform into stone. You become a Buddha of stone. With your silence and belief, deep inside the dark ocean, you collected only fragrance, became a stone, the living stone.
You know, what struck me about this poem is that it's a very simple poem, but that you acknowledge the smallest thing on earth, that you are reverent about something as small as a stone, and you consider that important enough to write about. Do you think everything that is in nature is worth writing about?
Yes. I saw the stone-like oyster in the restaurant. There was heart, there was blood, there was life, more, even longer than our human life. So I feel the life itself isn't there. That's what I try to describe.
Mm-hmm. That is your spirit, all right. Why do you call it the Buddha stone?
Buddha stone is, Buddha is the one meditation. It's very quiet and think and generous, more merciful structure. That's why I saw it in the capsule of this oyster. I saw Buddha in there.
Oh, I love that. I saw Buddha in a stone. Wow. Yung Suk So's books include Hello, Dr. So, Gracious Maria, Our House of Blooming, Dandelion. These are his publications. Cowis Cloud, Thinking Woods, and he is co-author of English publications I Am Homeland, Ebb and Flow, and then the anthology Songs in a Second Language. Please continue with your reading.
My next poem is Thinking Wood. Thinking Wood, the sound of new life arises from the wood. Deer, rabbit, and bird start their days, and the creek flows between the trees, and grass begin waving for good morning. Whoever is in need get an offer from the wood. It can be either a little bug, a visiting elder, or a jogging child. When full moon show up through dark cloud at night, the wood make us laugh, ooh, and compare the weight of day and night. Wood are the village with universal freedom, where they share blood and sweat, and they connect, mix, and touch each other, become prosperous. In autumn, when crickets sing, the wood wear scarlet tinge clothes, and give crops and seed to birds, enjoying the fire festival with excitement. When winter approaches with whipping switch, the wood begin to think calmly. The tree drop the leaves from the arm and cover the ground. Whenever everyone start to hibernate, the wood reach out to the white snow, and in nakedness and bold nudity, the trees stand against cold winter.
I want to point out some lines which I think are fabulous. This is a work of art. I love the third stanza where you say the woods compare the weight of day and night. What a thought, the weight of day and night. And then listen to this stanza. The woods wear scarlet-tinged clothes and give crops and seeds to birds, enjoying the fire festival with excitement. I love that description of autumn. Also, this one, when winter approaches with a whipping stick, with a whipping switch. When winter approaches with a whipping switch. What do you mean by that?
Oh, there's a winter storm coming. Yeah, it's very cold. And try to smash somebody, but who would stand there?
And then the best line is a simple line, the trees stand against the cold winter. We think of the trees in the cold winter, but a poet sees them standing against the cold winter. The poet's vision is different from the average vision. And this is really one of your most lyrical, I think, most imagistic poems. I'm very, very happy with it. I love it. I read it many times. And he has won many awards, too. He has won many in the USA, the Ham Chum, the Yun Dong Chu Literary Award, the Miju, the Pao Bong, and also he is the most honorable alumni of Seoul National University. His award was there for the medical school of 2008. So you have I see a lot of awards behind you on the wall.
I worked with my alumni association, Medical School Alumni Association, and I involved in the editing of the newspaper of the alumni. So they recognize me more than other people, and they award me for that. What I'm doing is I just serving for them, but they award me. So I'm very thankful for them.
So the alumni of the Seoul National University awarded you the most honorable award.
Yes. That's very,
and also, aren't you co-editing your alumni magazine? Aren't you editor of that?
I'm chief editor of the newsletter of the Sigetop, which is the newspaper we started in 1974 in the United States. So it's about 50 years longer. Every 3 months we publish, and I am the chief editor of that Sigetop newsletter last 10 years.
That's a lot of work, right?
Yes. We have 1,200 alumni in the United States. In Washington area, about 70 alumni. So there's about 1,200 readers, which I'm serving for them for publishing
the newsletter of the medical school alumni. That's amazing. And you are the vice president of the Korean Literary Society Writers Group.
Yeah.
So
yes.
You're in their new anthology, and it's called Songs in a Second Language. And now we present more poetry by Yung Suk So.
Next poem is I Cannot Move My Body on Behalf of Friend Immobilized. Throwing a frog into pond after catching and binding it to a stone, or tearing off two wings of dragonfly, or throwing a crab caught on the beach of Miami, Florida, into the sea again, only after cutting off its two claws, all this may be an act of mercy. One may be free from fear even when he wandered in the valley of death. Death is more merciful a body than when National Football League player rushing like an arrow to touchdown line with the ball in his arms fall into to have his neck bone broken before defense war to be taken away on a stretcher. On that day, it happened as a simple accident. I climbed the ladder and fell backwards somehow. With my mind clear, I could only yell aloud that evening. Since that evening, I have stayed immobilized for 14 years, as if to ridicule the desperate prayer of my wife and children. Blindness is settling down on my eyes. Maybe it is because I'm growing old. Even so, I can still swallow and breathe. I can hear, I can talk. In my dream, I can play baseball and volleyball as a young boy. But when I wake, I shed tears I cannot wipe off. Cold wind sweeps over my face when birds start chirping. I can hear garbage truck passing. Maybe dawn has come to start another day that will last long. Now I feel like flying away, like eagle, though unable to catch a fly. I wish someone would push my heavy wheelchair. I long to hear the waves that rose beneath the creek the sea dashed onto.
So your friend was locked into his body and for 14 years. And I know how deeply it affected you and why you wrote this poem. And now that I get to the end of the poem, I understand the first stanza better. Because I was a little, I'm going to read the first stanza. Throwing a frog into a pond after catching and binding it to a stone. Tearing off the two wings of a dragonfly. Or throwing a crab caught on the beach of Miami, Florida, into the sea again, only after cutting off its two claws. All this may be an act of mercy. Now, you see, I didn't understand why all those little acts of cruelty would be made better by the ending them. So when I got finished with the poem, I realized how death would have been merciful to him.
Then when he got this accident, a lot of college, most of them friends said, oh, he better die than suffering.
I understand.
That's what I tried to mean this poem.
That is what the poem says to us, yeah. And very vividly, too. Tell us about the professor who translated this into English.
Professor Sung Il Lee is professor of emeritus of English department, Yonsei University. The Yonsei University is in Korea. That university, the Nobel Prize winner, Han Gang, attended college. So he, my friend was professor of English department of that university.
And so you give your poems to your friends to translate?
He found out I'm writing the poem. He called me, I tried to translate your poem. I like your poem, may I? So about year 2003 to 2024-25, he collected all my poem. 1 year I wrote, and he, as soon as I sent by mail the Korean version, he translated, sent me back.
So, how wonderful. And do you like his translations? Do you believe he's faithful to your work? Pretty much?
I liked his translation, but sometimes I don't agree what he translates.
There's no way you can exactly replicate the poet's voice, even though you may try. And I'm looking at your publications here. You are a member of the International Pen Club in Korea. Is that still something you belong to? You are a busy poet. And to keep you busier, let's have another poem.
Next poem is Sound of Sobbing. The prisoner tied up to a pole with his face covered was a soldier belongs to the White Horse Division who was about to be executed for his blunder at Nha Trang, Vietnam. Was he weeping when the chaplain prayer was over? The medical officer's hand put a target ribbon on his chest tremble. At the rifle spat fire with simultaneously ringing sound, the medical officer's hand that has to be ascertain his death, that hand once raised for the oath of Hippocrates, tremble. Those witnesses, like Emperor Nero, yelled, kill the murderer. Who are they? Surely not Lord Jesus. Confusion swept the mind of one who was present there. That body, for which no one claimed ownership after his death, was sent to the medical student anatomy class to be cut to pieces and dissected after solemn prayer. Half a century later, they are now wearing white hair, raise a small monument in front of classroom, lowering their head, Dimitri said, "We thank you." Since then, when thick fog darkened the night, someone saw within the tombstone the broken piece of bone and motionless of flesh, discarded by the student, could be turned into earth and rain. After scattering in the air, is this the sound of life blooming as a flower? Or is it the tone of piano coming from Chopin's grave? Or is it the sound of river pouring down in a big flush? With the sound of calf mooing in search of its mother, with the sound one cannot tell whether sadness or soul, joy, someone is sobbing, throat choking within the tombstone.
This is a very, very powerful poem. Give us the background of this Korean soldier. What did he do? And did you witness this?
I served after medical school. I served in military as medical officer between 1968 to 71 during Vietnam War era. That time, Korean troops went to Vietnam along with the U.S. troops. And some Korean troop member did bad things to civilian. Shouldn't be done by the law of the military law. So he was sentenced to death. And some of medical officer like me or my friend has to be served to help the execution field. So doctors who in charge on that day has to put the ribbon, a red ribbon on the target on the left side of the heart area, chest. And then fire squad shooting the fire. Many of them shoot same time, so nobody recognize who is shooting whom. And then person died. Usually those dead body, the family doesn't want to take home because it's very dishonorable.
Oh.
Yes. And so they give up the body. Then those body sent to the medical school student to anatomy class to study for the human body, for dissection for anatomy class.
I have to say, you have been a refugee from North Korea to South Korea. You have been having to witness the atrocities of war, and yet you remain a person of great serenity. This is a lesson to us that we can overcome all that we've seen, even though it haunts us. It occurs to me that the Koreans had a very high standard for behavior because many people did atrocities. Americans did terrible things to civilians. Everyone did terrible things to civilians. But the Koreans seemed to me that they followed through and punished the person that was dishonorable. That is something I didn't know, because so much was done wrong.
Yeah. There is a rule in the military. So you have to be kind to the, you have to fight against the soldiers, or enemy soldiers, but not the civilian.
But a lot of people broke that law, lot of people. Yeah. And how do you overcome what you've seen?
I did not witness of this the execution field. One of my friend was positioned on that day, on that execution. But this execution go on very periodically because there's always some execution going on.
I see.
So this is my friend also in charge on that day.
I understand.
I wrote that fact as a poem. So,
well, it's one that should stay with us for a very long time. And we will move on, because you've lived 100 lives. You've lived 100 lives. You've done so much and spent most of your life healing people. And then this twilight years of ours is spent in meditation and creation. What could be better?
Yeah, I'm
earned it. You earned it. Let's have another poem.
Next poem is Lima Land.
And give us a background about it.
Lima in the city in middle of the western part of Ohio, between Dayton and Toledo.
Have never been there.
Yeah. That city is very unique city, and I had UNOS Road specialist training in New Jersey Medical School in Newark Pioneer here. And 1977, I start practice UNOS Road specialist in Lima, Ohio, for almost 29 years. So this is the Lima land I practice, and I wrote about that area. So Lima land, the home of Shawnee Indians until their extinction. Return of spring rushes the melting ice to the Ottawa River tributary that flows into Great Lake. On the other side of the endless field, when the dense fog is lifted, we can see the thin thread of long Mississippi River to every direction from the field. We see the blossoming of new lives on this rich land. The fertile land ever drenched with sweat of the people who work from dawn till night has always yielded which harvest many grains. Even on the arid oil field, they seeded green grasses. In the wood over the corn and bean field, rabbits, squirrel, and deer keep their home which live happily along with the luxuriant buckeye trees that offer resting place for the bird of passage, accompanied by the song of wind and stream. This is land that embraces countless life with unbounded generosity. Time flows on this land, homeland for a handful of people who had to come communicate with their gesture because of their foreign tongue. Here in Lima land, people comes and goes, live and die after releasing their soul. Their body returned to the handful of soil at Woodland Cemetery, where they rest in eternal sleep in silence. Each year, the name of departed increase in number, only bird on the trees responding them by their songs. On each subsequent tombstone, the long mournful shadow of the setting sun linger. Among the name of the people who perpetuate their long lineage, a name such as Shin Kim Lee, Modis raised their head, those who are far from different shore and built small village on the corner of the land. Soul brothers who live in a tight-knit, small enclave have directed along with the half century of time, tireless tide that gradually raised their faces and relate memories of them, I wonder and ask myself, have the departed left any footprint on this Lima land? Dear friend, after we are gone, life in this land will go on. New people will, unfamiliar clothes and music will come to this land. Dear friend, we who ride on the floating cloud, with the sun is lost beyond the horizon. In this vast universe, let us now find the sign of our lonely twin planet that is beckoning us, wandering in solitude, somewhere from the thousand light years away. In Lima land, through the clear sky, less rushing light from the stars shower on this peaceful field. Here is Lima land, the night sky is pristine and lofty. We describe even a dark space amid Milky Way endlessly, turning where magnetic wave pass as fast as light speed. Oh, dear friend, let this be our plea. Lima land, cherish our memories and let them dwell in the deep heart of the land forever. Let no tie of time carry, swallow them in the dark abyss of oblivion.
That is the first time anyone has ever written a memorial to Lima, Ohio, I am sure, with such devotion and such reverence. They should put that on a statue. I hope the mayor has that copy of, because never before, I'm sure, has anyone paid such attention to Lima, Ohio. You had a good life there. You loved
yes.
it. You
yes.
practiced medicine in the hospital, and your children were educated there, and you really enjoyed Ohio, right?
Yes, my second hometown. The Virginia, Washington is third hometown.
May we have a final poem?
Next poem is Most Beautiful Couple Dance. Responding to his rhythmic motion, she became a dancing flower. Her steady gaze drew the line to create painting. Different ones as time passes, dancing around the stage, they give the audience the ice cream cones, those highly. When thick perfume spread, continuous harmony by the free movement, a signal from the ring of their inseparable hand, create new painting in various ways, the grace couple previous life, the night when splendid blessing formed. We all fly with our wing, passing the sun, far away we fly, on the ocean and milkway, we float as their stars, grand banquet is full of joy, by the most beautiful couple stands, and their good heart unforgettable.
The voice of Yong Suk So. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We're on remote. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, the Ravada Foundation of the Logan family, friends of the program, Natalie Canavore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin's our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.